Well, we're going to look at a little bit larger section of Scripture than we normally do this morning, from 1 Peter 2:13, reading all the way to 3 verse 12, because all of these, this whole passage is dealing with relationships, and it all fits together. And there are parts of this that I thought, well, maybe we'll just skip over. You know, it deals and talks about slavery. It talks about women submitting to the authority of their husbands. And a lot of times, you know, these things have been misinterpreted, misused, but I think it's important to look at it all. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 13. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of the state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you will get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Do not be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, all of you must be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Do not repay evil for evil. Do not retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessings. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage today, Lord, we would just ask that you give us wisdom, give us understanding. Lord, may your words change us. We pray this in your name. Amen. As I said at the beginning, you know, this whole passage deals with our relationship to other people. You know, how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. You know, it says, submit to all human authority. Respect everyone. Love the family of believers. Slaves, submit to your master. Wives, accept the authority of your husbands. Husbands, give honor to your wives. Be of one mind. Sympathize with one another. Love each other. Turn away from evil and do good. These are hard things. You know, it's not easy to do these things. I don't do them naturally. You know, right from the very first exhortation to submit to all human authority, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of the state or the officials he has appointed. Well, let me ask you if these words sound familiar to you. You're not the boss of me. You can't tell me what to do. I don't want to work for anyone else. I just want to be my own boss. I don't need the government telling me how to live. Now, who died and made you king? I won't ask how many of you have said these things. Certainly, I would guess that many of us, if not all of us, have thought them. Now, let me ask another question. What's your first reaction when somebody tells you what to do? No, I don't want to. You know, you might not say that, but generally speaking, a lot of times when somebody tells me to do something, I kind of want to do the opposite. You know, that's my first reaction. And if you're honest, I would guess that a lot of you are like me. You know, why should I listen to you? Why should I do what you tell me? You know, as human beings, we don't like to be told what to do. And while there are a number of reasons why this could be, the biggest factor is because of sin. You know, because of sin, we want to be like God. Actually, because of sin, we want to be God. You know, we want to be in charge. We want to be in control. You know, Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, this speaks of the fall of Satan from heaven. How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. You know, Satan was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be higher than God. If you're familiar with the account in Genesis of the serpent of Satan tempting Adam and Eve, eat this fruit. It's good. If you eat of it, you'll be like God. You know, when we get power, we abuse it. But Jesus called his disciples together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. You know, we don't want to be under somebody's authority because a lot of times those in charge misuse it. You know, power corrupts is the saying that we have. You know, if you want to see what somebody's true character is, give them a little bit of power. You know, for those of you who have multiple kids, it's always dangerous to tell one of them, you're in charge when I'm gone. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, but the Bible is very clear that we are to submit to the one in authority. We may not like the people in charge, but Romans 13:1, Paul says, everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Right now, I guarantee that there are some of you who are going, but, stop. The Bible is very clear about this. There's always ways that we can try and justify our disobedience, our unwillingness to obey. You know, we know that we are to obey God rather than men. So if the government tells you that you need to do something where it would cause you to disobey God, of course, God is first. But as a general principle, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Even the authorities that aren't Christians, even those that might not be honorable, even those that might not be just, that might not be fair, that might persecute Christians, that doesn't mean that we've been given the right to rebel. You know, Peter wrote this in a time when, you know, Nero was just starting to persecute Christians. Any Christians have been arrested, killed, they've been driven out of Jerusalem. You know, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Now, similar to what Peter is writing, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God has called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. Do not repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. Not even to mention, we love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us. You know, we are told that we are to turn away from evil and to do good. Even when it's difficult, we are to submit and to honor those who are in charge. You know, Peter talks about submitting slaves, submitting to their masters. Just to be clear, the Bible doesn't condone slavery, but it talks about slavery because it existed in Peter's time. You know, Peter goes on, he talks about wives accepting the authority of their husbands. And if you look at the passage carefully, you will see that it's talking about a Christian wife married to a non-Christian man. You know, even if some of them refuse to obey the good news, meaning that somebody who is not a Christian, you know, Paul speaks of this as well. He talks in 1 Corinthians about a believing spouse living life in such a way that will point their spouse to God. You know, husbands, you must give honor to your wives. She may be weaker than you are. Another passage that people can tend to bristle at. You know, Peter is merely talking about the fact that scientifically speaking, women tend to have less muscle mass than men. You know, it's a scientific fact. But because of our sinful nature, you know, men have often tended to abuse women and oppress them because of this. You know, historically speaking, the rights of women have been reduced. Their status was lower. They were exploited and abused. You know, in the Roman Empire, there were no laws against sexual assault and rape. Only insofar as they might go against the rights of the person of the man who was in charge of them. So rape was perfectly legal as long as the person had nobody in charge of them. If they were an orphan, they were a prostitute, they were somebody who didn't have somebody in charge of them, they had no rights. There was no punishable offense for the person that committed it. You know, women had no right over their children, no right to vote, and in general were often marginalized and oppressed. And so today when we hear the words, women must obey the authority of their husbands, she may be weaker than you are, it might come across as extremely patriarchal, as oppressive, but if you look at it in the context of when this was written, in the context of the Greco-Roman world, you know, the biblical view of marriage that is laid out by Paul and Peter, you know, is shockingly progressive. You know, you husbands must give honor to your wives. She is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. You know, your equal partner. You know, not somebody to rule over. You know, Paul goes on when he talks about marriage, and he says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, to put their interests ahead of their own, to even die for them. That's what Christ did for the church. You know, all of these things can be difficult. Again, we want to do, but I don't want to obey. I don't want to have to listen. The key to this, I believe, is right in the middle of this section about submitting to the governing authorities of slaves, submitting to their masters, wives obeying the authority of their husbands, husbands honoring their wives. Right in the middle of that, Peter talks about Jesus. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is to be your example, and you must follow in his steps. That sounds a little bit about what, Steve, you read this morning, that Christ is our example. And later in that passage in Ephesians, it goes on to, you know, submit to each other. Jesus never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body and on the cross, that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. So how do we submit to others? Why do we do this? Again, we look to Jesus. You know, in Philippians, we see that Jesus gave up his own rights. He humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. And because of that, we have the forgiveness of our sins. You know, Jesus says, didn't come to be served, but he came to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, this is all connected to each other. Sometimes we kind of pick apart the Bible and we just pick out pieces of it, but it is a complete thing. It all fits together. You know, if we truly love one another, we don't have to worry about submitting to one another. If Christ is in us, why wouldn't life be good? Our world would be a better place if Christ ruled our hearts and our actions flowed out of that. So, God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example. You must follow in his steps. Not on the fact that we can die for our own sins. Only Jesus can do that, and he did that. It's done. But we are to love one another. We are to put our own interests aside, consider others better than ourselves, and serve them and love them. And through our actions, through our good deeds, we point people to Christ. And so if we have the view of eternity, of pointing people to God, we have one mind. We sympathize with one another, and we love each other. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today. Lord, and I confess, we confess that oftentimes we want your place. We want to be in charge. If only I was in charge, is something that I often think. But Lord, I confess that, and I thank you that I'm not in charge, that you are. Lord, I just ask that you would give us the ability to submit, to be humble. Lord, I ask that Jesus would always be in front. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would work in us that which is pleasing to you. That through our love, through our actions, that Bethel would be a place known for people loving each other, that we would be pointing people to you, even when they mistreat us, even when they persecute us. Lord, we just ask that your kingdom would grow. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close by singing number 429. They'll know we are Christians by our love. So 429, and if you're able, please stand. Thank you. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.